Thanks, Jimmy. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here, as always, on a beautiful day. A bit about us and why we're here, and what inspires us to be at St. John's Jackson Hole. Mary and I have been here off and on for about 8 years. Mary is in the fifth row right there, raising her hand, waving. We had built a home here and ultimately decided to pull up stakes from Houston and move here. I know it's a shock to move from Houston, Texas to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, but we are partially insane and we did it. So we've kind of been around sort of semi-permanently 2 or 3 years and love the church. And as we like to say, being a part of St. John's is really the icing on the cake for an incredible life in this valley. And that's how we look at it. So we're just blessed to be here. So what is it about St. John's that inspires us? And so I'm honored to talk about that today. First, I think we heard a little bit about today is the message and the profound impact it has on us and on our community. What is the message? 2 summers ago, Mary and I were in the Chapel of Transfiguration, and we had taken our niece, who was in the throes of a divorce. She was up here from Texas for some rest and relaxation and reflection, and she was staying with us. And the sermon that day from Jimmy was really very profound, which is this, that we are beloved by God. And moreover, that's our number one identity. And all other worldly identities flow from that. So whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, cowpoke, wrangler, whatever it is, the biggest thing we have going for us is being beloved. And that was a profound impact on us. It's something I hadn't heard before, nor had Mary. And perhaps because we sleep through sermons or we're tone deaf, but we hadn't quite caught that yet. But it drove us, it drove right through our hearts. And importantly, it changed the life of our niece, who was somewhat unchurched. And she strengthened her, and she went through this divorce, and she's an unbelievably fabulous single-parent mother right now, who, to this day, still listens to sermons on the St. John's website. So it really impacted her. That's the message. And from that, the first lesson in the Bible, which is love God, because he loves us. The second message, the other part of the message, really is love your neighbor. And that's this next Bible lesson number 2, as I say. The corollary, of course, is love your enemy. And that's a subject of an entirely different conversation, perhaps a few more sermons. But love your neighbor is easy. And really from St. Paul to John Lennon, love endures, and we know love cures. And it's the antidote for what is so much wrong in the world today and some of the issues in our community. And importantly, get this. This is church. It's all about spreading love. That's what we do. It's pretty cool. And it's pretty simple. And the second inspiration for us, so the message, the second thing really is all of you and what we do. It's amazing. It's phenomenal. We have an inspiring clergy and staff. It's one of the finest Mary and I have ever witnessed in our long life, quite honestly. Some of it church going, most of it church going. And then there's this congregation, which is inclusive, caring, compassionate. And you think about, why is that? And I think it's because we all came here for a reason. Or if we grew up here, we're smart enough not to leave here. And so to a certain extent, we're risk takers. We pulled up stakes elsewhere, came here, and we're just a little bit different, a little bit off in a good way. And I think we feel differently about people and the place we live. Nature calls us here, and we revel in this sort of spiritual place of the Teton Valley. And I think that gives us just a different outlook. So one example of that, what we do. So there's the message, who we are, what we do. One example was, excuse me, if you recall, in October 2018 in Pittsburgh, the synagogue mass shooting there that killed 11 people, injured 7, and tore up families, etc. And the next Friday night, we had a Shabbat service here with the Jewish community, and it was standing room only. It was really unbelievable that evening. And we came together, we sang, we read scripture, we prayed, and we shared manna. And that night we were really companions in the truest sense of the word. Companions, that's not me, is it? Companions in grief, companions in sympathy, love, and in healing. And it was really a sort of emblematic of what extraordinary love really means to a church community. And you think about the courage it took to have this sort of interfaith celebration, if you will, interfaith coming together. Not many churches would do that, and that's what I think is so unique about St. John's. And so for us, it was an evening we'll never forget. So I was going to list the litany of things we do, but those are all right here in the leaflet, which is an incredible list of stuff we do, including laundry, love, etc. And it gives you an idea of what this congregation is all about. So for those of you who are summer saints around here, I want you to rest assured we do not rest in the winter. There's a lot going on in this community, and there's a lot of need here. Okay, that we take a couple of powder days from time to time, but by and large, stuff goes on here. So for the coming year, we're going to amp it up and give extraordinary love. We're going to go the extra mile. Okay, where do we go from here in the trail that began in 1911? I think one area we can go to is the Wind River Reservation. Say it three times. Wind River Reservation, which is around the corner from here. It's 100 miles away. And you've got two formerly proud communities, two nations really, who live in squalor and have been forgotten. So what can we do about that? I think we can do a lot. We can see that they need things. They need toys. They need things they don't have over there. But I think more importantly, what they need a hand extended in love. And they need to see that people love them. They need to be shown that there is hope. They need to be shown that, by and large, and more importantly, they have dignity. We need to restore their dignity as individuals, as a people, and as a tribe. And I think we can do that. Will it be easy? No, absolutely not. There's a lot of anger and resentment over there after 200 years of shabby treatment. But as we've heard from this very pulpit, we can do hard things. We can do hard things. And that's what we're about. So we do that with our families and friends and loved ones. We do the hard things. We do the inconvenient things. We stay up late at night. We put toys together at Christmas Eve and cuss through instructions we can't read. We do all kinds of crazy stuff for our families and friends. And for heaven's sakes, look what we do for our pets. It says, pause here for laughter. You can buy these speeches. But we do it out of love, clearly. And we want them to be happy. And why do we want them to be happy? Because it brings us joy. So that's what this is all about. So it's no different from loving our friends, family, and loving our neighbors, our brothers and sisters outside this church, in this valley and beyond. As we do with our family, we should do, out of love, bring hope, dignity, opportunity, and yes, some joy. So let me end, finally, by encouraging all y'all, let's dig deep. Let's dig deep this year, whether it's your pockets or your soul or your heart. Let's dig deep and let's go forth in 2020 as companions in faith. Let's give extraordinary love to our neighbors, our sisters and brothers in this valley, beyond and elsewhere. Let's do the hard things together. And in so doing, we will be changed and we will have joy. And that's what this church is made of. Thank you.